Hi, you're listening to the Food Adventures Podcast, Season 4. Do you like conversations with people who are passionate about food? When you pick your vacations, do you base it on what you want to eat and then hit up every place Anthony Bourdain said to? Is food your love language? Well, if so, this podcast is for you. Join me here on Fridays, where we will laugh, possibly shed a tear, and always leave hungry for our next great bite of food. And if you're ready, your next food adventure starts right now. Hey everyone, you're listening to the Food Adventures Podcast. I'm your host, Beth Fuller, and this is Season 4. Woo woo! If you're new to the podcast, thanks for being here. If you've been here for all other three seasons, oh my God, I love you. I can't believe we've made it this far. Well, I can, because we're rock stars. So here's the drill. If you don't know the drill, this is the drill. Go to my website for all of the show notes, ElizabethRFuller.com. You don't have to take the notes. I've taken the notes. If you've got questions for the podcast, if you want to be on the podcast, send me an email. Let's go on a food adventure, gmail.com. And of course, follow me on Instagram at Let's Go On A Food Adventure. Slide into the DMs with all of your questions. And please don't forget to like, rate, and share the podcast wherever you listen to it, because that's the way we get heard. And who doesn't want to hear us? All right, let's get into the show. Well, 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 hello there, friends. Hello. I don't even know if I remember how to do this. I assume it's like riding a bike. I think I've said that the last few times that I've taken hiatuses and then jumped back on. Hi, how are you? What's going on? I can't believe summer's basically over or almost over. I am a person because, you know, there's so many fucking trucks driving by right now. Like between the trucks, a moving truck just drove by. I've stopped and started this. We're just going to deal with any of the external noise that you hear because that's just how we're going to roll today. So I am, because I don't have human children, I only have my fur child, as you know, and Oliver, and he does not go to school. So I don't have that benchmark of when school starts and stops. Todd, though, does work in the higher education system, he oversees all of an entire culinary program for a huge, 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 very prestigious college outside of Boston. And he, you know, the students are coming back this week. So he has that, like, summer's over, womp womp. Whereas me, I'm like, I don't view Labor Day as the end of summer because I don't have that kind of schedule and I don't have those like benchmarks. So for me, I'm like, okay with September in New England is warm. It's one of the best months for outdoor events because it's like warm days and cooler nights at like perfect 70, high 70s, low 50s kind of weather, and it creeps into then October, which then gets to be fall, which is everyone's favorite season, and some people start celebrating it now, to each their own. I'm not going to fall shame anybody, but I'm trying to live in the moment, and I'm still eating every tomato I can get my hands on, every eggplant I can get my hands on, like any summer produce, summer corn still, like melons, early apples are just starting out here, and so the ginger golds are so effing good. They are one of the first ones that are pickable. They're like crisp and sweet and just really crunchy. They're so good. So I'm going to go get to my local orchard and grab a huge thing of those just to snack. They're great snacking apples. And that's now. So apple, that's something that I don't think a lot of people understand unless you live in New England. Apples start pretty early here. And the like Honeycrisp, which everyone loves, those end, they're early. They're like between probably next week they'll start if they haven't started already. And they'll go for like maybe the second week of September, depending on the weather. And then you get the other seasonal apples, the Macaons, the Macintosh, the other ones that come later in the season. When people are expecting to like come here in October and pick apples, like that's not a thing. Like you don't, you can go to an orchard and you can get apples at like a roadside and they'll have like late season picking, but like, girl, you're climbing on a ladder, you're using the like basket with the pole, like to get the higher up apples from the top of the tree. But I will say some of the later season apples, they are much better once we get a solid cold snap around here. They just become sweeter. So if you do live around here or you are going to come visit anytime in the next few weeks, definitely swing by an orchard and see what they have, even in the farm stand if you don't feel like going picking. And yeah, they're already there. And ginger golds, if you haven't tried them, try them. So good. So good. Okay. So I'm back. I'm back. I know. Where have I been? I've been working so much. It's so awesome. Oh my God. It's been such a busy summer with shoot after shoot after shoot. And I'm so utterly grateful for the clients and the work and the projects and the opportunities. And it's just been so much fun. And if you want to head over to my website and check out any of my work, or if you want to work together on any projects where you need photography support, ElizabethRFuller.com, or you can follow me on Instagram, Elizabeth Fuller Photography, and see some of the latest work I've done. It's been a very, very busy but very fun summer, and that's kind of where I've been. And, you know, there's been like four or five moments where I'm like, okay, I like more than that, but like, literally like trying to carve out time to hop on the pod and just say hi and like do an quick update, quick episode. Like, let's talk about what we're eating. Let's talk about what to make with all this summer produce. And then time slipped away from me. So I dragged my sorry ass upstairs into my little nook of a room. And I'm like, I'm going to record a goddamn episode right now. So, okay, this is going to be a mini episode. We're going to highlight the things you know I love to talk about. What am I watching? What am I reading? And what am I eating? So let's get into it. Okay, let's kick it off. Let's kick it off with, you know, a lot of times I go in the order of what am I watching, then what am I reading, then what am I eating. Let's switch it up. Let's switch it up a little bit. What am I reading right now that I think may or may not be worth you reading? Okay. All right. So, you know, I have a huge appetite for reading books. I go through a book a week. Usually, sometimes if I'm listening to an audiobook, I will go through easily because I'll listen to the audiobook during the day. And then I will read at night a different book, and I will go through at least two books that week. I know. I'm an avid reader. Since we've last chatted, there's been a few. So I also read and use the Libby app. If you don't know it or don't use it, I highly recommend it. All you have to do is go get a library card from your local library and download the app and put in your library card, and then bam, free books. You can, I think, do up to 10 holds because a lot of them come available as, you know, the copies become available. Like the libraries will hold like, some of them have like 20 or 30 copies, digital copies of the book. Some have like, five. It just depends on how popular the book is and what they can get their hands on. And so I always recommend having a ton in your queue. And then as the books come available, you can then get them for 14 days and then they automatically get returned. And I think it's great. I also, you know, use Audible and go to my local bookstore. But most of the time, the thing that I'm purchasing 9 times out of 10 is cookbooks. because, and I will go to a local bookstore to purchase that cookbook because I really want to support the team that put it together because that's my world. So I make an effort to do that more than I make an effort to buy, fiction and nonfiction reading books. Anyway, so what have I been reading? Where do we start? So what did I just finish? I just finished, and then I guess I'll bebop around. I just finished Lucy Foley's newest book called The Midnight Feast. If you like Lucy Foley, she has a very specific writing style. It's usually like a murder mystery-y kind of narrative in the book, the plot. It usually takes place somewhere in a remote place in the UK, whether it's England, Scotland, sometimes it's Ireland, sometimes it's Paris, but it's across the pond. And it is action-packed with characters, so they're fun audiobooks to listen to because you do get some different voices and actors playing these characters, which makes it pretty enjoyable to listen to. So this book, I listened to the audiobook version of it. It was narrated really well. It was a fun read. It was a great summer read. Cranked through it. I think I might have finished it in a couple of days because it is a pretty fast-moving book too. And did I see the ending coming? She has got good twists and turns with her endings. This one, I don't know if I saw it coming. I can't remember. But it was good. It was a very satisfying read. So I recommend that. I don't know if you guys have read or if you remember, Sophie, I believe it's Kinsella. It's Kinsella. Totally pronouncing that wrong. She wrote the Shopaholic series back in the late 90s. Or was that the early 2000s? I feel like it was the late 90s. And then she wrote a ton of other books that I've read. I like her writing style. It's very easy reading. I think she helped influence other people like Emily Henry. And there's a handful of other writers out there that I do think pull from her style because Sophie came first. Her newest book is called The Burnout, and I thought it was really cute, and it takes place, again, in the UK, and, it's just about a gal who's just trying to figure out her shit, and she had a lot going on, and it was, again, very easy summer read, so like that one. If you want some horror thriller, someone, I don't know who, could have been one of those like TikTok things that popped up that was like a book reviewer saying, oh my God, here are the 5 books that if I could read again for the first time. And this book was on that person's list. So I put it on my Libby list and then it became available. And I was like, oh, I wonder how this is. And then I listened to it and I was like, oh, God damn. And so then I talked to my other friend who is very, very, very into books. And, Steve, friend of the pod. He's been on with our friend Sherry a ton. And he was like, oh, if you like that book, you should read this guy's other book. And I'm like, okay, great. So the author is Taylor Adams. And the book he wrote is called The Last Word. It is kind of a horror thriller. I thought she was a very scary book. I thought some of it was a little like scary. The other book that he recommended after that was called No Exit. I didn't enjoy it as much as I liked The Last Word, but both were very creepy. Very creepy. So if you're looking for a creepy fall book, very creepy. Then right now I have, and I haven't read it yet, but I've got it for 6 more days. So your girl has to get on it. Ashley Elston, E-L-S-T-O-N. Can't even read my own writing. And it's called First Lie Wins. Again, another thriller ebook. So wish me luck. Haven't started it yet. Oh, and one other book I think I mentioned before, and I didn't finish it because my time ran out. It was a little bit of a slow start, but it's giving Da Vinci Code vibes, which I love. And so I definitely have it on my list to like reread. Jonathan Sanflosser? Flower? Sunflosser? I didn't write his name down right. Oh, shit. Anyway, Google, the book is called The Last Van Gogh. It was good. It started off really good. It's a very interesting read. And the book basically starts off that it's World War II and they're trying to smuggle, allies are trying to smuggle very, very precious works of art out of Europe to a safe place so the Nazis don't get them. And they had this Van Gogh painting and they painted this guy painstakingly in its very specific manner to save the painting, painted over the Van Gogh, but in a way that it could be removed and the painting would be saved. And they smuggled it out of the country and it was safe. Cut to, this is like the first fucking page and a half. Present day Vermont at like some fucking barn yard sale. Guess what's there? I'll give you $5 if you get it right, you know, kind of thing. So yeah, it was, and then it picks up and it gets a little like spy-y, Da Vinci Code-y. And then my loan ran out and I was like, fuck. And then there was a waiting list for other ones, but then two other books that I wanted to read also came available. And I was like, well, I'll put this one on the back burner, but I do want to finish it. Okay, last and certainly not least, I may or may not have already mentioned this author before, but I'm reading Tana, French. The book is called The Searchers, and she's written a ton of books. I think they're all usually set in Ireland or England. I think they're usually set in Ireland, though. And I have a ton queued up, dying to read the beginning. Like, there's a whole series called The Dublin Murder Squad. I have the first one of that ready to go. I have, anyway, and this is, I think, the first of three. Really good, beautiful writing style, very rich in detail. Great book. And it was recommended to me by my dear, dear, dear pal, Kristen Scontris, friend of the pod. She's been on a ton. Shameless plug, not shameless, but I'm plugging her. Go to KFit Strength on Instagram, follow her. And if you live locally in the Portsmouth or Kittery or, you know, that area and are looking for a trainer, fucking hit her up. She's amazing. And we also still do our Thursday and Saturday morning workouts together via Zoom. She's amazing. You could easily join our class or you can do it. Pay for the monthly sessions and you can do them when it's comfortable for you during the week. If the times and dates don't work for you live, they get recorded and then you can do them. Fabulous, fabulous. Okay, next topic. Okay, next topic, next topic, next topic. I think let's talk about what I'm eating right now. I literally had to pause what I was just about to record and run downstairs because I was smelling what was potentially about to burn in the oven. And so why don't we get into what I'm eating? Because this is a big topic. There's a ton. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, a lot of it involves tomatoes. Goddamn. Tomatoes and a surprise guest star. One that I really poo-pooed early on in life. Not poo-pooed, but like it just wasn't for me. And then I was even a little sassy and snotty about it when it got, my mom brought it back up to me recently. And I was like, oh God, I don't know. But man, oh man, I have fallen so deeply in love with this ingredient. And she is Faro. Faro, however you want to say it. I am I'm obsessed. I think we've eaten farro easily twice a week for the last month. I don't know why. She's got fiber. She's got some protein. And what I like to do is I add it to salads. I know. I am obsessed with farro. Like the chewiness of it. I love everything about it. My dear friend Joy, who is my work wife and my one of my dear food stylist friends that we work together a lot, and she was like, "Have you made a farro risotto before?" I was like, "No, tell me more." So that's on my hit list. But I have been adding farro to everything, every kind of salad, anything that would have been rice or grain related. It is getting farro right now. So I highly recommend it. She's very easy to cook. So tasty. Please dive into the world of farro with me. One thing that I've been trying to desperately recreate, there is a wonderful donut spot here now in the next town over from me called the Donut Stand in Hopkinton. You can't pre-order their donuts online, but you can, they have salads and sandwiches and stuff. And for a couple, like whenever I have a shoot here, I always get lunch catered. So for the crew here working. And so I get it delivered, and because we're busy and it's a working lunch. And the other day we got sandwiches and salads from the donut stand delivered. And I was like, oh, damn, this is good. And then literally the next day I went back and got the same salad again. And I now have been trying to recreate this salad for, I'm not kidding, for like 3 weeks straight. I am obsessed. And really it's farro that's cooked and cooled. And it got cooked with like these like roasted jammy tomatoes, like cherry tomatoes, right? Then, so that's got this like yummy jamminess to it. Then that gets added to just like shreddy romaine, crispy chickpeas, tons of shaved parm, fresh sourdough croutons. Of course, somebody's fucking using a leaf blower right now. And they put in what they call like roasted shredded chicken. I like to call that fucking rotisserie chicken, motherfucker. It's so, who does it? Who, unless you're a vegetarian or vegan or pescatarian and just you don't do chicken, I fully respect that. But like if you are a meat eater, who doesn't love like the free range fucking roasted rotisserie chicken from a Whole Foods? Shut up. It's so good. And they're so inexpensive. I don't know why they're so inexpensive. I don't know on what plant. Like, I don't know. It's like the one thing left at a grocery store that's still a good deal. And it's so tasty. And so anyway, you take some of this chicken and you throw it on top of the salad. And then you mixy-mixy, add a little more shaved parm on top and some Caesar dressing. Shut up. Shut up. It is so good. It's so good. There's two or three different New York Times recipes that, again, are like salad in nature. And then farro gets added to it. There's, and I can link them in the show notes. I made one last night that was, you know, those pre-made. God, I'm going to shut this window. See if that helps at all. Probably not. Hold on. Let me shut the other window. Maybe it helped. I don't know. There's also, okay, sorry. So I made the farro. Then I took, and I make it with like bone broth, if that's not your thing, like veggie stock, something to infuse a tiny bit more flavor into it. I like bone broth because then you're adding a little more protein to it too. Anyway, fresh shaved fennel. The bottom of the dish, it was Greek yogurt with, I did Greek yogurt and honey and cracked black pepper, mixy mixy, and then smear that on the bottom of the, like, your dish that you're eating it. The farro, those pre-pickled, cold, in the cold section, beets from, like, I Love Beets or Love Beets or fucking whatever. The white balsamic ones, oh, so good. Cut those up. The shaved fennel, which I then tossed with a little bit of, like, lemon balsamic? I think so, yeah. Lemon balsamic and a little olive oil and more black pepper. Toss those in. Tiny bit of goat cheese on top. I also added in some toasted sliced almonds for crunch. Shut up. Made some grilled marinated chicken, but, like, that was just because I'm very conscious of how much protein I need to take in for health reasons. But the salad was so good. And with every bite, you get, like, the creaminess from the dressing. That's a Bon App recipe. Happy to link it in the show notes. I know that's paywalled, and I know the New York Times is paywalled, but I'm happy to link them in the show notes for you because I have a couple of Bon App recipes. Well, I have another Bon App recipe, too, that I'm going to talk about in a second. But so good. Another thing that I made, this was a little eye-opening, and Todd was like, can you send me this recipe? And the other two people I talked about it with, they were like, can you send me that recipe? I'm like, yeah, I can. Honey mustard chicken fingers. So it's, you make homemade honey mustard, like literally Dijon and honey, mixy mix. The key with this was pre-toasting the panko. So panko breadcrumbs, a little bit of like veggie, canola, grapeseed oil, something that's got a high smoke. Seasoning on them, whatever you want to do. I think I did like garlic, onion, what else did I put on it? Maybe cayenne, tiny bit of salt, pepper, tossed, throw that in the oven. So like they're tossed and coated with the oil and the spices. Toast them until they're golden brown, pull them out. Then you take your chicken breast and you cut it into strips. Or chunks or whatever. Like, you want to pound them out and then cut them so they're, like, chicken fingery sizes. And rather than dipping it in, you know, the flour and egg and then the panko, you just dip it in the honey mustard. Get some of it off. Like, get it coated, but then, like, get the residual off. Roll it in the panko mixture. Put it on a baking sheet with parchment, and they're going back in the oven. And that's it. So much flavor. And so then I was like, okay, what else can I do besides the honey mustard? And I was like, well, I have a little bit left, but I need to stretch it because I still have some more chicken boobs to do. I'm like, what if I added like Frank's hot sauce to that? So I tried that. Equally as delicious, like so good. I'm like, I wonder what else I could fucking coat as the wet part to make this stuff stick to it. Like, I think the options are kind of endless here, as long as I wouldn't do anything with dairy in it, I'm just saying. But I do think that there are other things out there that really could be delicious. So that's a New York Times recipe. Again, having to link it in the show notes. Oh, God, there's so many. Okay, there's two more I think are worth mentioning. I do have like five or six still written down, but I'm not going to sit here and take up your entire afternoon with me just making you hungry. Or not. Maybe none of this really strikes your fancy. So I made this roasted garlic and tomato tart. Bon appetit. Fucking this stupid tart. It was so good. It took 3 days to make. 3 days. 3 days. So, all right, sorry. So I had to go back and look back at this recipe because I made it maybe 3 weeks ago. And then I wrote it down to tell you about it. And then I was so traumatized by needing to make it for three fucking days that I must have let it go out of my brain. So I was like, let me reread the recipe. But do you know how long it took me to find it? It took a solid 5 minutes of Googling for me to find this recipe in the depths of the internet. So technically, it's not a, I mean, you do it in a tart shell. They're calling it, I think, a pie. It is so good. But God damn it, it took so long. And so you have to blind bake. The crust is made from wheat thins. Mm-hmm. Yep. Butter. And I don't know if there's roasted garlic in the crust. There might be, but I think what you do is you make garlic butter. And then you take the garlic out of the butter. And then you use the butter and the wheat thins. And you blitz that. And then you blind bake that. And pull it out, let it cool completely. So that's why they're like, do that almost a full day ahead. And you know, you're not going to do this when the tomatoes suck. So you're doing it when it's fucking hot as balls outside. So the last thing you want to do is get your oven for 2 solid days, if not 3, cranked, right? So you do the crust. I'm not selling this recipe, but goddamn did it taste good. So you do the crust. That's cooling. Okay, wheat thin palooza with garlic butter. What could go wrong, right? Then you thinly slice these heirloom tomatoes that are utterly delicious, and you bake them with olive oil on parchment until they are, I don't want to say dehydrated, but like you want to get a ton of moisture out of them. So they bake for a while. Like, I think it says, let's see, what does it say? At least 30 minutes, but like, I think I ended up baking mine for close to 45. They were juicy, loosey tomatoes. And so bake the shit out of those. Then those have to cool completely, because what you're going to do next, once everything is totally cool, you mix an amazing amount of taleggio, parm, mayonnaise, thyme, the garlic, the chopped garlic that you made the butter with, all of that you reserved goes in that, salt and pepper. And you make this incredibly creamy, dreamy, cheesy taleggio paste. And if you know anything about taleggio, it really can't get warm because it's just going to ooze like brie, which is why everything needs to be cool. And again, this is, and I didn't say this at the top, but this is a Rick Martinez recipe. His recipes are usually very, they involve some time. I have his cookbook. I've made a handful of his recipes. They're delicious, but they involve time. So you layer on in the crust, the cheesy schmear, then the roasted tomatoes, more cheesy schmear, roasted tomatoes. And I use like an offset spatula to like spread the schmear, and you don't press too hard, but you just want to like make the layers, make it nice and compact. And then you want to scatter like some roasted shallots that you might have roasted with the tomatoes on top, some fresh thyme. Okay. Then this goes back into the motherfucking oven 75 minutes. Yes. 75 minutes. In the middle of summer, 75 minutes. And then here's the other best part about this whole stupid recipe. That's so good. It's so good. You got to let it cool for an hour after that, if not more, because you can't get into hot taleggio. You can't. You can't. So there you go. It's so good. It really is. Like, girl, I'm salivating thinking about it, but the thought of making it, I can't. It is so good, though. Highly recommend it if you're a masochist like me and you really want it. I mean, now is like the perfect time to make anything tomato-y because this is it. Fuck. So good, though. It's so good. Okay, so there's that. What else did I make recently that I think is worth talking about? Oh, God, I've made so much of that Love and Lemons caponata. Like, I can't even. I make it once a week. I'm going to make it again this week. I just roasted off a shit ton of cherry tomatoes that were from our garden. And they weren't going to turn, but, like, I didn't know what else to do with them. And plus, I crave it. Like, I literally crave this eggplant caponata. It's so good. God, it's so good. Speaking of Rick Martinez, I made his tostadas the other day, the New York Times recipe. Very easy. Black bean schmear on the bottom. Your choice of, like, protein on top. But it was just fun to eat a tostada. I haven't done that in forever. This orecchiette, again, I'm salivating thinking of this. This was really good too. An orecchiette salad, cold salad, with like salad greens and tomatoes and cucumbers and fresh herbs, like big chunks of fresh herbs. And the kicker, and like, you know, like a red wine, olive oily vinaigrette, arugula, red onion, like all of that stuff. You take halloumi. And you cut it into crouton shapes, and you are going to cook the halloumi until it's golden brown into little crouton bites, and then add that to the salad. So that's really good. Very delicious. I really liked that recipe. I'm trying to think what else we've made. Oh, we made cold peanut noodles. Like this week, the two interesting recipes that are on deck that I'm excited to try. Hetty McKinnon from New York Times, I love her recipes. And she has this smashed, and I'm very into smashed cucumber salads, have been for a while. They can do no wrong in my eyes. And so it's this dumpling, like straight up freezer section dumplings, which we have some from a local dumpling house. They just happened to sell them in a store near us. And I was like, holy shit. Grabbed two boxes of them the other day, and it's like this dumpling salad with the smashed cucumbers. Yeah, thank you. Yes, I will. I totally will. So that's on dinner deck for dinner, like chili crisp and all that. It's gonna be so good. And the other thing I'm gonna make this week, I've been craving, I don't know why, it's still so warm here, an eggplant lasagna. Only I'm using eggplants in place of noodles. Pray for me. So, because my fear is this thing is going to be a fucking watery grave of lasagna-ness. I really hope it's not. I have faith in that I will do everything I can to make sure I'm going to suck all the water out of these stupid things. But, I'm going to make that. Again, another New York Times recipe. I'll link everything in the show notes. And hopefully it's you subscribe and you won't be totally paywalled. Okay, last topic of conversation. What am I watching on TV? I bet you can take a guess. And I bet it has to do with everything Bravo. Oh, God. So if you want to skip ahead or just skip this, there's no shame. There's no shame, but maybe you're interested in some of my really shitty TV habits and you want to indulge your own self in them. Well, then listen on. Godspeed. So, Real Housewives of New Jersey, done. Thoughts? Anyone out there? Thoughts? Because no reunion, bullshit TV watch was in place of the reunion. What the fuck? I also understand that nothing would have been resolved. Nothing. And, you know, Todd is a huge New Jersey Housewives fan. I think one of his hall passes absolutely would be at this point Melissa Gorga. Like, he tells me what Melissa's up to throughout the week. He'll be like, oh my God, did you see Melissa is at blah, blah, blah. Or I was on Instagram and I saw Melissa is doing da, 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 da. I'm like, oh, your girlfriend's out and about. So we, our love for the New Jersey Housewives runs deep here and has for many, many, many years. I do think that they do need a cast shakeup at this point, because even though this was a good season, they cut it short. Nobody would film with each other. And then there was no fucking resolution or reunion. So, right? Moving on to on the other coast, Real Housewives of Orange County. Oh man, Alexis fucking Bellino is back. I can't stand her receipts. Like, I can't stand Jesus jugs. I can't. I think what she's doing for Shannon is almost good in a way, because it's making everyone, and if you don't watch any of these shows, this is going to make absolutely no sense to you, but like, I do feel like Shannon's DUI now doesn't really matter nearly as much. It's not in the forefront of our minds. Like, we're actually feeling kind of bad for Shannon because Alexis is such a fucking heinous person. So, yeah, I mean, good, bad, and indifferent about her coming back for this season. I really don't care for her. I didn't like her years ago, and here she is back again. But I do watch. I like Shannon a lot, so I hope that she's doing well. I think her facelift looks great. I think Tamara is super fucking jealous of how good Shannon looks, and also how much attention Shannon's getting, and Tamara's just trying to pull focus, which is why she's being a raging douchebag to her on camera. But granted, this also took place, like, she also needs a storyline, right? Like, if you're not going to be relevant, oh no, cameras don't give a shit. Like, so I think there's a little bit of that going on too. Okay, then we have Million Dollar Listing. I know, it's all Bravo. It's all Bravo. I have such a problem. Million Dollar Listing LA. I like the three of them. They narrowed it down. I don't know if it was 2 years ago that they like eliminated all the other agents that they follow, and it's literally Josh, and what's her name? Josh. Oh, Tracy. Sorry. Love Tracy. And I like it. I like the show. I like seeing the real estate. I like watching their lives and drama unfold. No notes. I do wish that there was that they like stack the episodes, that maybe they drop two at a time, but it's Bravo and it's live-ish TV, so no notes like that. And then rounding out my Bravo addiction, Below Deck Mediterranean. This season, god, The thing to watch is really the bromance between Joe and whatever the other deckhand's name is. I can't think of it. Nate? Is it Nate? I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Their bromance is adorable. The Stews, poor Bree is just clueless, and I don't know how she's going to get... Maybe she learned from her mistakes and she'll get a job somewhere else. I think Captain Sandy has just been put through the ringer on this boat and dealing with this crew. And Aisha too. Like, Aisha? How do you pronounce her name? Aisha? Maybe it's Aisha. I think it's Aisha. Her too, that I feel like I don't know if that poor woman has slept since being on this stupid boat, because she's just like trying to make up for what everyone else is dropping the ball doing. But it's very entertaining. The guests haven't been as nasty as in previous seasons, except for the one fucking douchebaggy guest who was like, it's a butter knife, and the chick was like, no, it's a fish knife. It looks like a butter knife, but it's a fish knife. And then like they went through literally like all the knives and pointed it out after the fact. They didn't do it in front of the guests to like shame them, but the guests, like those guests were total douchebags. But then they were just snotty. They were so rude and snotty and I don't know. Anyway, but not as much drama as in, I mean, there's drama and there's crap that's going wrong with the boat itself, but like the drama itself is not nearly as amped up as in past seasons with crew members. Like that one crew member on the one season where she was it on, it might have been the OG Below Deck, with the curly hair, and she would just randomly dive off the boat, and you'd be like, wait, what? And she, like, literally, she had, like, a mermaid outfit, and she would just dive off the boat. Can't do that. Can't do that. What else am I watching that's fun and interesting? Probably not much else. Who's time? I watched the, unfortunately, Love is Blind UK. Reunion. I'm going to watch it today. All of Drag Race Canada versus the world, the Drag Race Olympics, which is literally like the drag the world or whatever they're calling it. It's so good. That's so good. Canada versus the world was good, but this one with Alyssa Edwards and all these queens from around the world is so good. It's on Paramount, so highly recommend watching that. It's just really, really, really good. What else is out there in the world? I don't know. That could be it. We might have come to I think I might be talked out. Are you done with me? You made it this far. All right. I think we need to wrap this up. Well. We've come to a finish. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. I hope that this inspired you to go to your local farms and pick up some yummy food and make something delicious together. So head on over to my website for everything we talked about. It'll be in the show notes, ElizabethRFuller.com. If you got questions for the pod, shoot me an email. Let's go on a food adventure at gmail.com. Tag me on your food adventures on Instagram at Let's Go On A Food Adventure. Follow my photography life, Elizabeth Fuller Photography. I think I got them all. But anyway, make some yummy food together this weekend. Leave with kindness. And I will see you very, very soon. Bye.